All right, grab your Bible this morning, turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse 19. Luke 16, we'll begin reading in verse 19. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs, which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Now, I'd like to preach a sermon this morning simply entitled, What If You Could Raise Hell? What if you could raise hell? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day of life that you've let us feel. We thank you for your mercy and your grace upon us. Lord, I pray now, God, that you just bless this sermon today. I pray, Father, that you bless the service. Lord, I pray there be no hindering spirits here today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that if there be one here today, God, that don't know you, I pray, Father, this would be the day, Father, that they come unto Thee, Lord, with a repentant heart, Father, and Lord willing, dear God, to accept Jesus Christ to be saved, Father, from a devil's hell. Now, Lord, bless us today. We pray, and God, I just pray that, Father, that you just watch over this church, and God, may it be a blessing. May, Father, it be a light in this community. Now, Lord, bless us. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen and amen. All of my life, I have heard people use the phrase, raising hell. And we've all heard that before, but what if that were literally possible? I want to ask you this morning, what if that were literally possible this morning to literally raise hell? What would we find if we could do that? What I am about to preach about this morning may change the outlook or perspective about this place called hell. The reality of hell isn't a very popular subject, but it is indeed a very important one. Jesus preached fervently about this horrible place for one simple reason. He doesn't want anyone to go there. Many Christians believe that hellfire preaching is a cruel and unnecessary and a counterproductive thing to do. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. He emphasized the reality of hell through his preaching, and he warned the lost people about this horrible place called hell. I believe that it is high time as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ that we take the blinders off and warn our friends and our families and all those that we come into contact with about this awful place called hell. It is our responsibility to highlight the horror of hell and to warn people about the eternal torments that are associated with this place called hell. No one else will do it. Or no one else wants to do it. Certainly not the devil. Or the religious ecumenical world out there. Or the religious crowd out there does not want to warn the people about this place called hell.
Listen, nor will the tolerant churches of worldly acceptance warn people of a place called hell. The world, friend, cannot afford a worldly church. The New Testament church must preach the gospel and the consequences of rejecting Jesus Christ and rejecting the gospel that He so fervently preached. I believe that it's high time as we as preachers stood up and preached and warned against this place called hell. It is a reality. It is a place of torment. And just as sure as you're sitting there where you're at today, wherever you're at today, listen, there is a place called hell, and it is a real place. And Jesus preached more on hell than any other subject. And how Jesus described hell, He said it was a place of fire, an everlasting fire, an eternal damnation. Hellfire, a damnation, shall be damned of hell. He preached on and on and on and on and on about a place that is real, a place called hell. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any other thing that He ever preached on. And I've already said it, He preached it, the reason being because He does not want you to go. Matthew 7:19, He called it fire. Matthew 18:8, everlasting fire. Mark 3:29, eternal damnation. Matthew 5:22, hell fire. Matthew 23:14, damnation. Mark 16:16, shall be damned. Matthew 23:33, damnation of hell. John 5:29, resurrection of the damnation. Matthew 13:42, furnace of fire. Mark 9:43, the fire that shall never be quenched. Mark 9:44, the fire that is not quenched. Mark 9:46, where their worm dieth not. Matthew 13:42, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 18:12, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Luke 16:23, He calls it torments. Luke 16:24, torments of this flame. Luke 16:28, place of torment. Matthew 8:12, outer darkness. Matthew 25:46, everlasting punishment. That's just to name a few. Well, what if he was right? 3 people die every second. 180 every minute. You imagine how many that is going to be dead and slipped off into a place called hell before we get through with this sermon today. And one day, it'll be you. As you leave your body, as a person leaves their body, I believe, and as they leave their body without Jesus Christ and out the faith in Jesus Christ, His blood saving them and saving their souls, and unless they're a Christian, as you leave your body, you realize something is about to happen. You hear a sound. It gets louder and louder, screaming, weeping, and wailing. Terror and fear beyond anything that you could imagine overtakes you. You say to yourself, this can't be happening to me. It cannot be happening. I cannot believe. And as you're slipping on down, your nostrils are filled with the awful stench of the burning souls, and your face ignites from the heat. The flames are now blazing through your eyes and your nostrils, your ears, your mouth, and every opening of your body. Flames are roaring out. Your body is sizzling and crackling into the flames. Fire and torment. Eternal damnation forevermore. Body's now madly thrashing and convulsing from the horrible pain. Why don't I just die? Why don't I just die? You scream out. You begin weeping and gnashing your teeth with the millions when this pain, wondering when this pain will ever stop. But you know that it will never stop. Hell's not a pretty place. What if you could raise hell? If you could raise hell, I believe you'd see the misery of the damned is real. Verse number 23 of the same chapter there, the Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, plural, torments, not torment, but torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom, torment of the members. Boy, I tell you, just you imagine that. You imagine there being there in hell. The Bible says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to me, dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Cool my tongue. Have you ever had a cup of hot coffee and it burned your tongue? Boy, that hurts. Can you imagine being in that shape for eternity? Cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. The members of comfort, remembering the members, are not comforted. The torment of the mind You imagine being down there in a place called hell. Imagine the torment of the mind. You know that this man here in hell that Jesus Christ is talking about, he has his, all of his senses. He has his eyes, he says. And he says he lifts up his eyes. When a person dies and goes to hell, the first thing they do is they open their eyes. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes. And the Bible says he's being in torment and seeth Abraham afar off. The Bible says that he told him, he said, please come and just dip your finger in water and cool my tongue, Abraham, for I'm tormented in this flame. I believe if we could raise hell this morning, we'd see the misery of the damned is real. God would open up your spiritual eyes this morning, you'd see a warfare going on. You'd see a warfare going on in our midst. You'd see a warfare going on out there in the world. The devil's declared all that war on the church. Hell has become an old-fashioned subject anymore. Hollywood has got it to made up now. They're coming up with all kinds of movies, A Day of the Damned and the Day of the Dead and the Dawn of the Dead and all that. And listen, folks, listen, whatever happened to the old-fashioned preaching, where that you got up and you stood up and you preached hell hot and heaven sweet and how that we can miss hell by giving Jesus Christ our life and our heart. Whatever happened to that, folks? We need to understand that we're not fighting a sissified war. We're fighting a war and a battle, and the devil's declared all that war on Christianity. This world today has our young kids so blinded to the fact that there is a living and a literal hell. It's hard to reach them today. It's hard for them to come into church, and it's hard to scare them with the thought of hell, especially after spending 2 or 3 hours the night before watching horror movies. It's hard to get it across to them that this is no horror movie. This is not something that's made out in Hollywood. This is real. And Jesus Christ preached on it. It's real. And He said that it's in the heart of the earth. And it's a place that you do not want to spend eternity. If we could pull up hell, if we could raise hell, the misery of the damned, we'd see that it is real. Not only that, but we'd see that the memory of the past. Remember. Verse number 25, the Bible says, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. And now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Somebody said, well, you know, I believe that when we die, we're just going to die just like the dogs and the cats and stuff out there. We're just going to be put in the ground and that's it. We're never going to have to worry about anything else. Not according to God's Word. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after this the judgment. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We give Him praise here, and we'll give Him praise on the other side of eternity. One of the two places, I promise you, we'll give Him praise, and you will give Him honor, and you will give Him glory. Whether we're standing at the gates of glory, whether we're inside the gates of glory, or wherever we're at, no matter where we're at, if we're in there, or whether we're down in the depths of hell, God in all of His infamy and all of His power one day, He will pull us up out of that place and put us in front of Him, and you will bow the knee to Jesus Christ, and you will exalt Him as Lord and Savior of the world. Jesus Christ took hell very seriously. He said in Mark 9:43, He says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. He said, it is better for thee to go into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, into the fire that is never shall be quenched. Verse 45, He said, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Or verse 47, He says, and if thy eyes offend thee, pluck it out. See, what is He saying? He took it serious. He took it so serious, He could say without a slightest hesitation, to remove your ear, cut off your hand or your foot, and take your eyes out, if that will keep you from going to hell, that's what you need to do. Hell's not real. Jesus Christ is the most deceived man that ever lived. Jesus Christ knew exactly what He was talking about. He continually warned and He continually pleaded with those around Him about this place called hell. And there's no sane man could describe the place of hell as Jesus Christ described it unless it is true. I couldn't start this morning to stand up here to you and explain to you the torments and the horror and the tortures and the horrificness that's down there and the ungodliness that's down there in that place. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ, God Almighty, made that place. He created it for the devil and his angels. Never intended for mankind to be there. You could raise hell this morning, you'd see the misery of the dead,
the misery of the damned is real. You'd also see the memory of the past is remembered. Remember the comforts of this life. Boy, how God's been good to us. And all the blessings that the Lord's put upon us. I've been in places where I've seen kids, literally, countries, I've seen kids beg for food. I've seen it with my own eyes. I never ever thought I would ever see that, but I've seen it. But here in this nation, we have it made, folks. I guarantee you that none of you in this building this day will go to bed hungry tonight unless you just choose to do that. God's been good to us. Remembering the comforts of this life and remembering the chances that we had to be saved. Think about that. Remembering the chances that God has brought us into a place of where we could be redeemed and where we could have a new name and glory and where He could just take His hand and just write our names down in that almighty eternal book of life. Thank God that I've given my life over to Him and my name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. Never more to ever perish. I'll never know what it's like to feel the flames of hell. Thank God, aren't you glad this morning that you are saved and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ this morning? Aren't you glad of that this morning? Boy, I tell you, remember the chances that a person, remember the chances that you had to be saved. And then I want to say, thirdly, that the movement of the inhabitants, if we could raise hell, you'd see that the movement of the inhabitants is restricted. You ever had anybody to tie your hands up where you couldn't move? Or maybe you're just in a tight place and you just couldn't move. Your movement was restricted. Boy, I tell you, you just get to where that you just want to get out of there and there's nothing any worse than trying to get out of there. Trying to get away. Trying to get turned around or trying to move. You imagine. In verse number 26, the Bible says, beside all the torment, all the torture, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. God's got it fixed. Now listen, when God fixes something, He does it right. Amen. The Bible says that beside all the torment that you're going through, beside all this, there's a great gulf between us. God's got that thing fixed. Mankind today is trying to find a way around salvation. They're trying to find a way to God or they're trying to find a way to get to God other than through Jesus Christ and His blood. But God's got that thing fixed. The Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's got it fixed. God's got that thing fixed to where that you won't get to heaven in any other way other than through Jesus Christ. You won't make it to heaven through Muhammad. You'll never make it to heaven through Buddha. You'll never make it to heaven through Confucius. You'll never make it to heaven through any preacher, or through your grandma, or through your papa, or through your daddy, or through your mommy, or through anybody else. You'll never make it to heaven through any priest. You'll only make it to heaven. You'll only make it to the throne room through Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's got it fixed. There's a great gulf. Movement of inhabitants is restricted. No redemption in hell. There's no prayer time in hell. There's no relief in hell. God has it all fixed. And the creator of this world is none other than God Himself. God hung the worlds out on nothing just by His Word. And God created all this that we might be able to live down here in fellowship with Him. Bible says that eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath got prepared for them that love Him. We can't even imagine what's in store for those people that are saved and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't even imagine it. But on the same hand, imagine what an awful destructive place that hell must be. Heaven, all the riches of glory, is God's mercy and God's glory and God's honor. But on the other hand, hell and damnation of hell is all of God's fury and all of God's wrath and the turning away and the turning of the back of God in a place called hell. Imagine that if you would. The movement of the inhabitants is restricted. And then fourth, the mission of the church. the mission of the church is regarded. Folks out there today don't regard the mission of the church. There's a lot of folks that don't do that. They don't regard the mission of the church. They go by a church, and if a church has got a building that's got a steeple on it, they must look at that and they must say, well, that's church house. But the church has a far greater mission than just to be able to build buildings. The church has a far greater mission than just to be able to have a bus ministry or to be able to have a Sunday school class. The church has a far greater mission than those things, and to have a choir. The church has a far greater mission than to have a program here and a program there. God has a far greater mission than that for us as Christians. That is to warn folks of hell. You realize that the church today has just about lost its vision when it comes to its mission. Verse number 27 says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him that to my father's house. For I have five brethren. He may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I want you to notice that he didn't say that I have five neighbors. And I want you to notice that he didn't say I have five guys or five ladies that I work with. And I want you to go to them. He says, I have five brothers. I've got five brothers, and I want you to go and tell them not to come to this place. Greatest mission work that we as a church ever done is to see our families get into church and to get saved. Your mission work in life is to see, first of all, your family get saved, and then go out and get the rest of the world in to get them saved. First priority is the family. The Bible says, in verse number 28, he says, for I have five brethren. What's that tell you? That tells you that he has a burden for the lost. Folks, do you have a burden for the lost this morning? Do you have a burden for the lost? Do you have any idea what awaits people that are not saved? God, for 30 seconds, open up your eyes and let you look down into the pits of hell. I promise you one thing, you'd never be the same. Never. You'd never, ever again disregard the fact that there is a place called hell. Several years ago, there was a book published entitled Beyond Death's Door by Dr. Maurice Rawlings. Dr. Rawlings was a specialist in internal medicine, a cardiovascular disease. And he resuscitated many people who had been clinically dead. Dr. Rawlings, a devout atheist, he considered all religion to be nothing more than just hocus pocus and death nothing more than a painless extension. Something happened in 1977 that brought a dramatic change in the life of Dr. Rawlings. He was resuscitating a man, and this man was terrified and screaming as he was resuscitating. Each time that he regained a heartbeat and a respiration, the patient screamed, I'm in hell! He was terrified and pleaded for the doctor to help him. The doctor says he was scared to death. He said, then I noticed a genuinely alarmed look on his face, and he said this patient had a grotesque grimace expressing sheer horror. Have you ever seen the look on somebody's face of sheer horror? You ever seen the look on somebody's face that's about to die? This patient's pupils were dilated, and he says that and he was perspiring, and he was trembling, and he looked as if his hair was on its end. And then still another strange thing happened. He said, he looked at the doctor, and he said, don't you understand? He says, I'm in hell. He says, don't you understand? I'm in hell. He says, don't let me go back. Dr. Rawlings said, no one who heard his screams and saw the look of terror on his face could doubt for a minute he was actually in a place called hell. Then I want to say, last of all, the preacher and God's Word remembered would be revealed. Verse 29, the Bible says, and Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Power to save would be revealed if we could lift hell up. I guarantee you they'd tell you who to talk to. I guarantee you they'd tell you how to be saved. And then you'll notice that he says in verse 30, and he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." You know what this fellow said? He said, "Don't send them a preacher. They're not going to listen." Isn't it funny how voices crying out from a devil's hell can tell you that folks just don't want to listen? Folks just don't want to hear what you got to say anymore. But it's real, folks. God would never commission a man to preach about an awful place called hell. If it wasn't real, He'd never commission me this morning to preach this sermon. You say, where is hell? Well, I believe it's inside the earth. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 9 says, Jesus says, "Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first in the lower parts of the earth?" There's a scientist that said, so far as we can tell from the Scripture, the present hell is somewhere in the heart of the earth itself. To say that it is not scientific is to assume science knows much more about the earth's interior than it actually does. The great pit, a scientist once wrote and said that if hell was in the earth, that it would only have to be about 100 miles in diameter or less to contain, with much room to spare, all the 40 billion or so people who've ever lived. It's there. It's there. Numbers chapter 16, and I'm going to close with this. The Bible says the actual count of people falling into hell alive. It says in Numbers 16, 32 and 33, "And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. All that appertained to them went down alive." Alive into the pit. "And the earth closed up on them." Thousands of years ago, the Bible described a place inside the earth that matches what science has recently discovered. The earth has an inner core. Sure it does. God told us that thousands of years ago. But it's a place of torment, torture. I want to say this morning to you, this morning, if you've never been saved this morning, I want to say this message for you this morning. But I also want to say that if you're here this morning, you are saved, this message is still for you. Because we need to get serious about this place called hell, because there's so many thousands of people out there that are dying and slipping off into this place every day. All around our community, all around our county, all around our state, all across our countryside, millions of people are slipping off and dying and going to hell.